I'm a little froggy today, so if you can put up with that, that would be great. But I do have a handful of lozenges, some water, and later on we'll take communion, so that might help too. But anyways, I am very excited about today and even next Sunday. We're starting a new sermon series today. And this series is all about Jesus' mission when he came to this earth. And that's why it's titled Hello World. So I like to say that enthusiastically in any kind of way that you want, but it's not Hello World, it's Hello World, you know, because Jesus came to this earth, and he came to this earth to communicate and demonstrate God's love for his people. Because prior to that, they didn't really understand exactly who God was. They had an idea, but they didn't know how much he cared for them and loved them. And so my prayer for all of us is that today and next Sunday, and if you're not here today, obviously you won't hear this, but you'll be watching it, check out this service because you're not going to want to miss it. Because my prayer is, no matter where you're at in your walk, your spiritual walk, whether you're here and you're not sure about this whole Jesus thing and you're just checking it out, or maybe you don't even know Jesus yet, or maybe you've been walking with Jesus for many, many years. But my prayer is that this will help each one of us, number one, get to know who Jesus is a little bit more. Help the scriptures help us draw a little bit closer to Jesus. And if you've been walking with him for years, my prayer for you is that this sermon this week and next week will help you be able to maybe share your faith about Jesus with some people a little bit better. You'll have a little bit of a better understanding on who he is. So that's the purpose of today and next Sunday. And so the first thing that we're going to look at today, which might be a little hard to grasp, is that, or this is what we're going to dive into, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. You know, we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of mind-boggling, but Jesus is God. And when he walked the earth, God came in the form of man to show people his love for them. He walked amongst the humans of his day so that he could say, this is the love that I have for you. I love you so much, and here's what I'm doing for that, because of that. And so the question that we can ask is, why would God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all that we see in here, all that we see out there, all that we can touch, the people that we interact with, each one of us have a unique characteristic that God himself said, Katie Diani, I created you because you are who I want you to be, and that is special. Ivana Diani, you are special no matter what you think about yourself or anybody else thinks. I created you to be just like that because that's how I want you to be. John York, same thing. Craig Shaw, same thing. But see, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see all the flaws. God looks at us and he sees perfection. And so that's something that us as human beings, we have to get over. Because God sees us as perfect. And so there's a guy by the name of John, and he wrote one of the Gospels. He walked with Jesus. He witnessed Jesus. He saw all the things that Jesus did, and then he wrote a book about it. There's four Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all very similar, but they're all just a little bit different. But John's is set apart a little bit more because John's Gospel explains the deity of Christ more than the others. It explains that Jesus is God a little bit more than the others. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a little bit of the Gospel of John. And I just want to start out with, in his first chapter, the Gospel of John, and this verse will be up on the screen. But here's what John says in John 1, verse 14. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today just because I kind of like it. It explains it just a little bit easier. But some of this does get a little wordy. So the Word became human. Well, that's interesting because the Word became human. What does that mean? Well, if you go up to the top in verse 1, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on to explain, the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus at the time was the spoken Word of God. Now he's our written Word. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, made his home among John and his friends, walked amongst them. I can't even imagine what it was like hanging out with Jesus, traveling the countryside, having little campouts in between towns, spending time with Jesus at nighttime at a campfire. What in the world were those conversations like? It had to be mind-boggling, but life-changing, because John says he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. How many of you can say that about a very good friend of yours? Man, this person loves, he loves people no matter what, and he is so faithful, or she is so faithful. But here's something here. And you, normally, we might just gloss right over this. But John says, we saw his glory. We saw his glory. What does that mean? So remember, I said that Jesus, today we're going to look at how he came to communicate and demonstrate that he was God. Well, John says we saw his glory. So when you read the accounts in all four Gospels, Jesus did miracles, countless miracles. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He fed thousands out of a very small portion of food. He cast demons out of people who were oppressed. He healed people by the thousands. He loved on them. He taught like nobody had ever heard somebody teach on the scriptures before. But I think it might even go a little bit deeper than that. Because there's an account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I don't know why it isn't in John. But Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, three of his disciples. He takes them up on this mountainside. And then in the story, it says that his face, Jesus' face, just began to shine like the sun. And he began to just radiate this light. And then all of a sudden, Moses and the prophet Elijah appeared. And Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were having this conversation. It's not recorded what it was because Peter was freaking out saying, we got to build booths and shelters. And, you know, I don't think he knew what to do. Maybe that's what he was talking about. We saw something that Jesus did while he walked this earth that nobody else saw. Or maybe we saw his glory. After Jesus was crucified on the cross, buried, dead, he rose from the dead. There's a story where the disciples were in a room and Jesus just walks right through the door. And they freak out. They think he's a ghost. He's like, look, Thomas is like, I don't believe it's you. Stick your hands in the holes in my wrists. It is me. We saw his glory. You know, the disciples also saw Jesus ascend into heaven. I don't think any of us can say we've seen anybody, number one, walk through a wall, number two, actually ascend into heaven. So when John says, we saw his glory. Those three words to me are huge because he saw Jesus do things that we just get to read about. And it's a no wonder that the disciples were scared and scattered when Jesus died on the cross and buried. But then when they saw him rise from the dead and saw him ascend into heaven, they became bold in their faith because they saw his glory. And that's what it was that helped them spread the gospel till the ends of the earth. So that's just a little bit of, if you read the gospels, you can read about that. And you can see how God, how Jesus demonstrated God's love for people by the things that he did. But again, why would God, the creator of the universe, outside of time, lives in eternity, become one of us? He could have done it any number of ways. But he said, I'm going to become one of them. I'm going to share my love with them as one of them. You know, as we begin to believe into Jesus, as we begin to believe in Jesus, and we read these accounts, and we read the Bible, and we read about God, there are things about God that boggle the mind. And what I do is I try not to allow those things that boggle my mind take me down a path of like looking for secrets and digging into the lost things in the Bible that nobody else knows. I have put myself in a place where what God does, the things that boggle my mind, I'm okay with because he is God. I'm not going to allow myself to go down this path where there's secrets and there's teachings that we don't know about and there's things outside of the Bible that explain more. No, if it's outside of this word, then I am going to put it to the test with this word. But where my faith is right now with God is, it's okay if it boggles my mind, because the more you read the Bible, the more you get to understand how God operates, the more you will find out he plays by his own set of rules and he does a lot of things outside the box. And I'm okay with that. Keeps me on my toes a little bit. And it creates an adventure that I have with a Savior that I have in heaven. So nobody expected the Son of God, nobody expected the Messiah to come in the form of a baby, born of a virgin, in a stable, to regular parents. I mean, I would think the creator of all that we see, feel, hear, and touch would make some kind of a grand entrance, right? I mean, he's the creator of everything. But he didn't. He came in a lowly form. And nobody expected that. But that's the way God wanted to do it. And so we're going to read a passage here, and we're going to kind of dig into this a little bit further. But this passage was mind-boggling to the disciples. And a lot of times Jesus did teachings to just the disciples alone, and they didn't understand what he was saying. They were confused by his teachings. And I wonder if he did that on purpose. Because it would draw them closer to him. It would make them ask questions. You know, when our kids were little, in the second and third grade, and they would have their homework, my wife does all of the homework with them, so I have to confess, I don't really do much of that because I don't have the patience. She has the patience for that. God bless her. But every now and then, you know, I would help. But my kids would do, like, math problems, you know, and they would say, is this right? And I would say, well, I don't know. Is it? You tell me. And if it was wrong, I would explain to them, you know, the right answer. But it was a way to draw the right answer out of them if it wasn't right. And I wonder if that's why Jesus did some of these teachings with the disciples like that. And maybe when we're reading the scriptures and we don't understand something, instead of getting frustrated and just like, I don't understand this, God, it's too confusing, what if we took a step back and said, God, could you help me understand this? Because he will show up and he will give you the understanding. So let's get into this teaching here. This is in John chapter 14. We're going to read a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit. But this is shortly before Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, and he knew his time was up. And he was doing, He was speaking to the disciples because he was trying to tell them that, listen, without telling them this, there's going to be some hard times coming along. Your world is going to be rocked. You're not going to know what to do, but I want you to have peace and comfort in what's about to happen. So here's what he says, John chapter 4, verse 1. He starts it out with this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. Where are you going, Jesus? Why do we have to not let our hearts be troubled? What in the world? Well, thank goodness we have Thomas. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? You know, when you read the Gospels, you will see that Jesus had a habit of disappearing all night long to go to a mountainside to pray. Or he would tell the disciples, get in a boat, go across the Sea of Galilee, I'll meet you later. And then here he comes walking on the water. Hours later. He had a habit of doing these things to the disciples. So they're like, where are you going? What do you mean? You're going to prepare a place for us and we don't know, but we do know and you'll come and get us. What are you talking about? Well, Jesus answered Thomas. Actually, he didn't. He didn't even pay attention to Thomas's question. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. What did he just say here? He just said, I'm the Father. But more importantly, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A few years ago, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. We were talking about getting to heaven. And he was a believer. But he says to me, this is the analogy he used. If I want to get to Las Vegas, there are many different routes I can take to get there. The end goal is Las Vegas. Doesn't matter what route I take, as long as I get there. So you mean if you're a good person, you can get to heaven? You mean if you believed in Jesus, but you fell away, but you're still a good person, you can get to heaven? You mean if you believe in the Buddhist faith and you're a good person, you can get to heaven? You mean if you practice Taoism and you're a good person, you can get to heaven? Yeah, because the end goal is heaven. There are many different roads to get there. Well, if I'm understanding Jesus correctly here, I believe he said, no one gets to the Father except through me. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It doesn't matter what spiritual practices you do. If Jesus is outside of that, I'm sorry, you're not getting to heaven. That's what Jesus said here. That's a tough pill to swallow for some people. Jesus also said, the road to hell is broad and many people are on it. The road to eternity, to heaven, is narrow and few take it. No one gets to the Father except through me, Jesus. Well, Philip is even more baffled. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. I think Philip is still like, where's he going to go and when's he coming back? He didn't even answer Thomas's question. Just show us, Jesus. You know, isn't that the way a lot of people are, though? I need tangible evidence that God is real. Because if I can't see it, touch it, or feel it, or understand it, then it must not be real. I'm not going to believe in it. And I think that might be where Philip was at, like, just show us the Father. Jesus, just show us. It gets to be so confusing sometimes. Well, this is where our faith comes in at. And really, if you read this passage, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith. It does take trust. But Jesus is laying it all out right here. So here's his reply to Philip. "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the works you have seen me do." Verse 10, right there, Jesus says, "I am the Father. Philip, look at me. I drove demons out of people. I healed people. I touched lepers and they became clean. I raised people from the dead. I took a little boy's lunch and I fed thousands of people. I am the Father." You're looking at him. Right here, Jesus is telling his disciples, "I am God." But again, here's what he also says. He says, "The things you have seen me do, that is what the Father does." You see, Jesus was constantly in thought and conversation with his Father in heaven. Jesus never went about just doing things on his own. He always listened to the Father's voice. And when he saw the Father moving, he moved in that direction. For instance, when we do ministry time at the end of the service here, Pastor Dave or I, whoever comes up, and we say, you know, there's somebody here that might have a sore ankle, or, you know, there's people here that are struggling with this, or whatever. Those are called words of knowledge. And that is listening to the Father, listening to the Holy Spirit, because he wants to move in somebody's life. And when you're paying attention to that, everybody can do this. We all get to play in this kingdom game that God has prepared for all of us to do as believers in Jesus. When you are listening to the Father, you can have a conversation with somebody at work, and you can pick up on something. Maybe it's something as simple as a couple of words or a sentence, or they're telling you a struggle that they're having. And you might hear something that you think is a solution in your head. But it's the Holy Spirit telling you what to tell them because he wants to move in their lives. That's what Jesus was saying about this. I am in the Father. Jesus didn't do anything on his own authority. He listened to the Father and he moved in that direction. He demonstrated God's love for people by looking to see what God was doing and moving in that direction. I know it's mind-boggling when we say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is God. But he walked on this earth as the Son of God, as the Father was in heaven. And the reason Jesus was constantly in prayer and disappearing on the disciples, I think, was so that he could just have some quiet time to listen to his Father. So that he could see what the Father wanted to do that day. So that he could demonstrate God's love for this city over here or this group of people over here. And he does the same with us. Jesus and the Father are one. Philip was saying, "Show me the Father." And Jesus is like, "You don't have to look any further, Phil. I'm here." But he was setting the disciples up because they didn't know that he was about to be crucified. You know, he started this whole thing out by saying, "Listen, guys, don't be troubled here." They didn't know that what was about to happen. But maybe after it happened that they could look back at this little private teaching and be like, "Oh, that's what he was telling us." So I'm going to bring it home with this. The reason God sent his Son to dwell with mankind was so that he could communicate and demonstrate who God is and how much he cares for people. Prior to Jesus, people didn't have a personal relationship with him. They were taught the scriptures by the religious leaders. And unfortunately, as a lot of man-made things can go, it got a little skewed. The religious leaders made up all these laws and things that you had to do and not do in order to follow the scriptures. But they didn't know any better. You know, they had to come to the religious leaders and with a sacrifice to get forgiveness. The religious leaders would go and then pray for forgiveness for the people with these sacrifices. When Jesus died on the cross and rose to heaven, he opened that avenue to where we can now have a personal relationship with him. But prior to that, they didn't have that. God wants us to know him on such a personal level that he was not content in just sending information. He sent himself to dwell with the people. He didn't want us to have to figure out what he was like on our own. The people were already doing that. If all we have to do is look to Jesus to see who God is, why is it so difficult sometimes? Why are we like Philip? Just show me. Show me God. If I don't see it, if I can't touch it, I'm not going to believe in it. But could it be that our own life's experiences have shaped who we think God is? Because of what has happened to me in the past, how can I believe in a loving God? Because I've never had an experience or an encounter with God, why should I even believe in God? You know, we have our own preconceived ideas of who God is, when in fact, I believe God is right there the whole time saying, I'm right here in front of you, but you're failing to see me. Sometimes I think when we go through hard times, we, at least like for me personally, I have no idea how much harder it could have been if I hadn't had faith in Jesus. So, whatever the case may be, it's as simple as reading God's word and trusting what it's saying, wrestling with it. If you struggle with it, talk to God about it. He'll help you out. I believe he will speak to you. Here's the thing, people change. Life brings change. The word of God does not change. It will get you through everything in life. And it is the only way to heaven. Through Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. If we put our trust in Jesus, we begin to understand who God is and how he works all things out for the good in our lives. And that he is a loving Father in heaven that wants nothing but the best for his creation. That's us. And the only, and he chooses to use us to get his word out to other people that don't know him. That's how he chooses to operate through us. So the only way to know what the loving Father is like is to read about the life of Jesus and start a relationship with him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much that you chose to send your son, yourself, to earth as one of us. And as mind-boggling as it may seem, you walked the earth. There are people who wrote down the accounts of this. And we have those stories to learn from and to read about. And I just pray, Lord God, as we enter into a time of worship here in a few minutes, God, that you would speak to each one of us. Maybe we're at a crossroads. Maybe we struggle with this whole Word of God thing. Maybe we're like Thomas, where we're like, I don't even know what you're saying. Maybe we're like Philip, I need to see it to believe it. Or maybe we've been walking with Jesus for many, many years. We just need an extra, just a little touch. God, I ask right now, today, during this time of worship, Lord, that you would speak to the needs of the people here, and that you would show them how much you care, how much you love, and how much you want to be a part of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a bunch of Phillips here. You know, Philip said, show me, Father. Show me Jesus. Show me the Father. And so I believe that right now, today, because of what we've been talking about, if you want a touch from God, if you want to see God in your life, God is going to grant that. He's going to show you something special this week of what he's been doing or where he's at in your life. So if that pertains to you, I want to pray for you, but I want to see where you're at. If you could just raise your hand and and show me where you're at. Amen. All right. Come on now. God wants to show up in your lives. And he wants to not just prove himself to you, but he wants to show you how special you are to him and how much he can change your life. I thank you, God, for all these hands. We've got young people. We've got people of all ages. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, for all of these hands represented here, God, Father, I just pray right now that you would show them who you are, that you would show them the love you have for them, that you would show up in their lives today, this week, in such an amazing way, God, that they can't help but share it. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And then one more thing, and this is the last group of people, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hands too, just so that we can see where you're at. I can see where you're at. We could pray for you. But I also believe that raising your hand is like a public declaration. You know, I'm here, God. I'm right here. And so, you know, Jesus said, no one gets to the Father except through me. We have a mindset that there are many ways to get to heaven. Well, Jesus himself said there's only one way, and it is through me. And so if you are sensing that, you know what, maybe I need to put my trust in Jesus, or maybe you feel like you've slipped away a little bit and you wanted to recommit your life to Jesus. Maybe you feel like, geez, I don't know, maybe I'm outside a little bit. You know, if that pertains to you too, maybe you want to just kind of come back to Jesus, or maybe you want to come to him for the first time. Can I see where you're at? Does that pertain to anybody here? Anybody here want to just get on that road that leads to Jesus, the only way there? Or maybe you feel like I've jumped off the road and I need to get back on. There's a hand in the back. Thank you, man. Anybody else? Anybody else? This is eternal stuff right here. This is eternal stuff right here. Thank you. All right. Good for you. Amen. Good for you. Anybody else? You know, we struggle. People struggle with the fact that there is no other way to heaven except through Jesus. If Jesus said it, I believe it. So, anybody else? All right. Well, I thank you for this young lady and Bill in the back there for raising your hand. So listen, we're going to say a simple prayer. And then we have some stuff. There's some people in the back that have a little bit of information that will help you out with this. But church, join with me in this prayer. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for showing me who you are today. I thank you for showing up in my life and proving yourself to me. And I ask right now that you would walk with me the rest of my days, keep me safe, and help me build that trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Woo. Amen. All right. Well, listen, we're going to close out with one more song.